Good morning. This is Impact Cincinnati and 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. The 15th running of the Flying Pig Marathon is this weekend, and after the bombing at the Boston Marathon, some changes were made for this year's race. We'll talk this morning about a few of the changes to the pig and security plans, not only for the pig, but for other major events in Cincinnati. Joining me are Flying Pig Marathon Executive Director Ira Simpson-Bush, from the Cincinnati Police Department Event Planning Unit Sergeant Greg Luton, and Hamilton County Emergency Management Director Michael Snowden. We'd like to hear your questions and your comments. You can email them to impact@wvxu.org or post them on our Facebook page. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning,
good morning, Marianne.
Certainly glad to have everybody here. I think, Iris, we'll start with you if we can, and just tell us a little bit about some of the changes. I know there aren't tons of them, but just some changes that are going to be happening for this weekend since the Boston Marathon incident.
Well, as we had indicated the day it happened, there was already a safety and security meeting scheduled for the next morning. It's part of our normal procedure. We've worked closely, obviously, with the Cincinnati Police Department. Our course covers most of their jurisdiction, and then they collaborate with all of the surrounding municipalities. So that was already in place. It's been a focus every year. Certainly, when Boston occurred on that Monday, there was the shock, the horror, the emotions of knowing people there, not sure that they were safe. As soon as we got beyond all of that, we met the next morning with the Special Events Unit. Sergeant Luton always organizes that. And at that meeting, they had already begun the additional planning for the other entities, the other units that would be brought in. They had a plan as soon as we met that first morning. Obviously, from our perspective, when Boston happened, it was just overwhelming. Our course is 26.2 miles. When you add the split, where the half splits off, the 5K, the 10K, over the course of the weekend, we're over 50 miles around the greater Cincinnati area. So how do you protect that? How do you plan for it? Way beyond our area of expertise, but there was, from that first meeting, the confidence, the trust was already there. We'd worked together for years, but the confidence in the fact that they already had a plan, were marshaling resources that I didn't even know existed, and I've lived here my entire life, and we moved forward from there. They took charge, assured us that the goal would be for the pig to go on. They encouraged us to plan it and be prepared to execute it just as planned, and they would lead us through the safety and security precautions, and that's been done.
Sergeant Luton, you want to talk a little bit about what kind of things you're preparing?
Well, a lot of it is law enforcement sensitive, of course. I will say we've enhanced a lot of what we're doing. We've involved the FBI, who named this event a special event because of the Boston tragedy. We're working with the Department of Homeland Security because they can provide us a lot of equipment and needs that we have. And we've added some officers to enhance certain areas that we feel are important. So most of it, we don't ever talk numbers about how many we're going to have there, the type of things we're going to do, other than we have a lot more detection units and we have a lot more eyeballs out there. And that's what I think is key for an event site that's so large that you can't nail it down and put a moat around it, that just the more eyes we have out there, trained eyes, the better we can see something out of the ordinary.
Is this the largest event that you have to deal with as far as your event unit is concerned?
No. I would probably say Riverfest is the largest.
People-wise, but yes. Places-wise, I mean, as far as
the distance, size. Well, distance, yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So this is just bigger, not so much in people, but just in where everything is located.
Correct.
Mr. Snowden, your thoughts, anything that EMS is doing in regard to any of this?
EMA.
EMA, I'm sorry.
That's okay. EMS is medical services.
That's
and
right,
we work
EMA.
With them as well.
I know that.
But no, Sergeant Luton, and well, they're both correct in the sense that we've made some changes, but at the same time, we always plan for these events. And the Special Events Unit at Cincinnati Police Department has been there for 30-plus years. They've been there a long time. Back when I was with the police department, they were there. The thing we've done with Homeland Security side is we've got a fusion center here in Cincinnati. We've got a Department of Homeland Security analyst assigned with us. And what we bring to the table is just kind of a bigger picture of the entire event, but beyond just what police focus on. We bring the health people in, the fire people in, public works, as Greg talked about, the FBI, and then other equipment that we've been able to purchase over the last 10 years with Homeland Security dollars. We have a lot more equipment now. We have a regional operations center, which will be operational. We never had that, 10 years ago. It didn't exist. So,
what does that mean? What is a regional operations center?
Well, it's a center up in Radcliffe where we will have multiple people there to monitor the event and to be there in case of an emergency. And Boston's center was up and running when the event happened, because if something like that happens, you don't want to take the time to call everybody in to make sure your resources are in place or to direct the resources where you need them. And the Emergency Operations Center helps coordinate, you know, an event like that, and really just to monitor everything and make sure that those in the field get what they need to do what they have to do.
What about for folks not only running but that are participating in the clear bags? And there are some other suggestions that you have this time around for the pick.
Well, if you must bring things, we are requesting that you utilize a clear plastic bag, just easier to identify. I guess our wish is that if you can leave it at home, just leave it at home or in your vehicle. But we know that people do carry some things. So I think the clear plastic, that was one of the initial suggestions from our first meeting. Those bags were already in production. They're typically kind of a white, you can't see through. And the company was wonderful. They stopped production and switched to clear plastic. Ask no questions. Everyone has been extremely cooperative. But to get back to the clear plastic, it's the only way we'll transport baggage for our participants. But anyone who watched the coverage, the footage of Boston, you know, you saw that a lot of the spectators, whom we're encouraging to come out, they carry things as well. So that's our hope, that they'll utilize the plastic bags that will be provided.
So just typical Ziploc bag or something like that, if they want to carry something, that'd be fine.
Sure, and we have a two-day expo at the Duke Energy Convention Center. It's free. It's open to the public. There are a lot of fun things to see. If you come down, we'll happily provide drawstring clear bags.
Oh, so those will be easy to carry then, too.
Sure.
Good. Any other suggestions for folks that are attending, Sergeant?
I mean, all of our lives have changed since 9/11. Obviously, this is just another change in the way things are going. Unfortunately, it hampers a lot of people and their mobility. But all we're asking is that if you're coming down to watch the pig, feel like you always have. It's a great event. And just don't carry as much stuff down to where you're going. So if you got backpacks and stuff, leave them at the car, leave them at home. If you're going to carry something, carry it in a clear bag. If you're carrying a backpack and an officer might see what he thinks looks different, they may challenge you. So it's better if you just bring something so everybody can see it and enjoy the event. And obviously the participants are on board with us and doing what the pig has asked them, what we're asking. And we think it's still going to be a great event. We're going to get through it. And there's just little changes you have to make.
Should the spectators plan on being questioned about things, or should they plan on, there's no specific security check people will have to go through to be a spectator, is there?
No, we have officers that have great experience, have a lot of training, and will have a lot of eyeballs out there that you won't see in places looking for things, but they're not going to come down into a zone that's like a demilitarized zone where they're going to be questioned and searched and things like that, but we are going to watch a lot more carefully.
Now, in some years, people have stashed bags under bushes and put things different places so they have them when they need them. What are you going to do about that sort of thing this year?
Well, the pig's done a great job, again, on a lot of the media attention that they've been given and asking people not to do that. We don't want you stashing things. If you're going to stash it, put it back in your car or leave it at home. So don't bring things down. Dump it in a bush somewhere where it's going to draw our attention and take our attention away from things that we probably need to be paying other attention to. So just little things like that. It's just simple stuff.
How many people are running this year?
We'll probably be, registration is open through the weekend. We're thinking 33,000 for all events.
That's pretty high, right?
Pretty high. That's
compared
a lot
to other years for your 15 years?
Yes. It's grown every year and is certainly on track to do so this year. We reopened our online registration because we were getting so many inquiries and so many requests to participate.
Do you find that there are some people that want to participate just because of Boston?
Absolutely. We've gotten calls with exactly that phrasing. I didn't train for the half, but I can do the 10K, or I'm sure I can do the 5K, so I'm signing up.
So maybe a lot more people in those regards than you would have had otherwise.
Yes.
Did you get anybody drop out?
You know, there may have been a few. And by the way, we have a very large children's event on Saturday. Over 6,000 kids participate. You know, it's possible that some parents may choose not to come, but no, we've not received calls or requests for reimbursement or anything of that nature. It's been much, much more on the positive side. I'm coming. I decided this is my way to show solidarity. And then, of course, you know, we respect everyone's decision to do what they feel comfortable with. All of the extra precautions and safety measures have been taken. But I think when it comes down to it, you know, you decide what's best for you, what you're willing to comply with. And I really loved Greg's point that it's not going to feel a lot different from prior years. Just know that there are a lot more people watching.
Let's talk about the way it all started 15, well, actually, it's really 14 years ago. This is the 15th running, but 1999 when it started. And what you did then versus now, have there been a lot of changes just overall since 9/11 and other events, or has it pretty much been just nothing majorly different?
Pretty much routine. We go through the same planning every year. We kick it off. We meet with Iris and her group, and just pretty much has been the same. It takes a lot of police personnel to cover 26 miles, and we've always done a great job, and mm-hmm. I think that's just going to continue. We have a great police department, so I'm very confident.
And yeah. From our side of things, I think that the changes that we see is just in the intelligence gathering, in the mm-hmm. sense that we have the Fusion Center now. We have a direct link with the FBI and their classified briefings, and we just get a lot more information about what's going on around the country and around the world and how it may impact Cincinnati. And we have better equipment now. Since the Homeland Security grants, we've got equipment that, you know, when I was chief, we never even thought about buying because of the expense. And so we've got a lot better equipment to deal with, not only this event, but really all the large-scale events we have here in Cincinnati.
Are there things you can tell us about, or are they secretive things?
Well, like I said, the Regional Operations Center is one. We talked about some of the detection equipment. We've got a lot of detection equipment. We've got better response equipment if there is an event for mass casualties. You know, trailers with loaded up with supplies and everything. That kind of stuff didn't exist before. And we've done better planning, multidisciplinary planning. You know, when I was with the police department, we always focused on police department plans. Now we meet with health, fire, public works, communications, coroners. Everybody all meets together on a regular basis from the whole 12-county region, not just Hamilton County. And we focus on planning for these kind of events and what happens if something happens within Cincinnati. It's not going to be just a Cincinnati issue. Northern Kentucky will respond, Warren County, Boone County, you know, Claremont County. Everybody will be responding in. At the same time, if they have a major event like a Kings Island or something, we'll be responding out there. So we've developed plans and policies and procedures that didn't exist, you know, 10, 15 years ago that are now in place in case we have a major event.
So there's a lot of cooperation between all those departments.
Tremendous cooperation.
We're like a family reunion when we get together. We've known each other. We've worked with each other. The other jurisdictions I've worked with for many years, as is Chief Snowden. And so when we all get together, it's not a bunch of stiff shirts, and we feel free to talk free about what do we need to do, how can we improve it. Technology is so advanced. As you can see from Boston, everybody had a cell phone. Mm-hmm. And with the cell phone, you've got the ability to video, and all that comes into play. Every building, it seems like, has video cameras on it. We use them every day for routine crimes. There's a camera somewhere that's always getting your picture.
The spirit of cooperation and collaboration is amazing. The pig goes through several different municipalities.
Can you tell us the route for people that don't know, and then I'll let you finish saying, just because I think there are some people that maybe never watched it, where does it go?
We start at Paul Brown Stadium. We go over into Northern Kentucky through Newport, Covington, Newport, back into Cincinnati. We go up through East Walnut Hills, then on through Hyde Park. We just touch on
Madisonville.
Kind of Madisonville, and then in through Fairfax and as far east as Marymount, around the square. Then it comes back through Fairfax down to Eastern Avenue. And as you know, that then becomes Riverside Drive. So it's pretty much a flat shot from the time we come back down to Eastern into town. But that covers the jurisdictions involved would be Covington, Newport, Fairfax, Marymount, and Columbia Township. They make it a smooth and seamless transition as we're going through the different municipalities. I think because of the relationships you have, the communication, all of the planning that's set up in advance. But, you know, you're never aware of anyone putting up any obstacles or challenges to what's being accomplished. I've been amazed at this, not only the spirit of cooperation, but again, just as they're referring to, the resources, the additional first responders who were available. We were put to the test 5 years ago. It was our 10th anniversary running. We had a fire on the course, started at like 5:30 in the morning. The race starts at 6:30. One of the officers in this special events unit, Scott Krauser, had a plan within, he had that plan worked out, a detour within 10 minutes. We detoured, the race started about 10 minutes late. And by the way, when we first arrived, the fire marshal thought it would be a 4-hour delay. So again, that cooperation, the planning, the wherewithal and the expertise, several of the running magazines talked about that incident and its handling as a textbook case on how to respond to an emergency. That was their plan. They made it work. They took care of everything, moved the fluid station for us, rerouted the course, you know, sent the volunteers to their new location. And Scott knows that course like the back of his hand. You guys tell us about the construction we're going to encounter, any potential delays. Months out, they're making us aware of what we might see race weekend and already have a plan and a solution for us.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. We're talking about the upcoming Flying Pig Marathon and security at all major events in Cincinnati. If you have a question or a comment, we'd like to hear from you. Email us impact@wvxu.org or post it on our Facebook page. We'll continue our discussion in just a moment.
Support comes from the Miami University MBA program, home to the top-ranked part-time MBA program in the region. With an accelerated format, small, engaging classes, and a convenient location in Westchester, you can learn more at their May 7th info session. More online at mba.miamioh.edu.
Support comes from the PNC Pavilion, presenting a Prairie Home Companion radio romance tour. As Garrison Keillor and the gang return to Cincinnati's PNC Pavilion on July 21st for one night. Tickets will be available to the public at 10 a.m. this Friday, May 3rd at Ticketmaster.com, Riverbend.org, and the venue box office. For more info, you can visit riverbend.org. Support comes from the Cincinnati Art Museum. Americans have long been fascinated with the delicious phenomenon called chocolate. Amanda Lange from Historic Deerfield will explore this theme at the 41st Annual Colonial Dames Lecture, Food of the Gods, the History and Material Culture of Chocolate in Early America, Wednesday, May 8th, 2 p.m. with tea to follow. CincinnatiArtMuseum.org for details.
This is Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Marianne Zalesnik. We're talking about the Flying Pig Marathon, security around that race, and other major events in Cincinnati. My guest today, Flying Pig Marathon Executive Director Iris Simpson-Bush, from the Cincinnati Police Department Event Planning Unit, Sergeant Greg Luton, and Hamilton County Emergency Management Director Michael Snowden. Again, if you have a question or a comment, email us, impact@wvxu.org, or post your question on our Facebook page. And we do have a number of questions this morning and comments as well. The first question comes from Matt, who said, what should photographers carrying equipment do if they want to carry their equipment to the race?
Well, we're trying to credential, of course, all the media. If you're just a photographer coming down, I would say carry as little equipment as necessary. Certainly you can bring down what you need for your pictures. It might be a good idea if you see an officer in your area just to walk up and say, hey, officer, I just want you to look at my bag and see that I'm a photographer and this is all that's in it, and everything's great. And it's just those little things they can do to just make it better.
So you're not going to stop people from bringing their photography equipment or anything like that?
No, it's still a free country, and we love that part about it. But, you know, there's certain things that we're going to check and just make sure that everybody's safe, because that responsibility falls on us.
A couple of other comments, and actually we got a number of comments on our Facebook page. We put the question up early in the week and then again today. And early in the week it started, and I'll sort of try to pare these all down together, but they all seem, many of them anyway, seem to agree. And they say they understand why we're talking about this today, but they say every time we allow terrorists to dictate our behavior, they win and we give up some of our freedom, and we really shouldn't do that. Others say they're tired of this focus on terror and the perceived need for protection, which is only encouraging the slide toward a police state. How about more courage and tearing down barriers between cultures instead of reinforcing fears? And I'd just like to hear your reactions to that.
I've been to a lot of countries, and when you go to another country and then come back here, you see there's a huge difference. So I don't think that we're trying to hide or build walls. I just think we're trying to be more advanced in our thinking and try to make sure that people stay safe, because we are living in a world now where the chance of something happening is here. It never happened here before. This was our home, and now it's here. So you have to do certain things. But certainly I think that it's still a great country, and there's a lot of freedom.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And you know, we were in Italy a few years ago, and again, it's the same way. It was very surprising to see the number of armed, you know, people with literally machine guns, yes, walking around just in town and everywhere you went.
The airports, as soon as you get
the airports and everything. And you know, it is a free country. We want to keep it that way. But at the same time, we hit the face of reality that things are different now than they were, you know, 15, 20 years ago. And you know, we want everybody to have a good time. It's a good, safe event. You know, the events in Cincinnati are all like that, and it's a family event. We want people to come down. But at the same time, we want them to be aware of their surroundings. And, you know, if they see something unusual, they should let us know about it. And, you know, that's a See Something, Say Something campaign. But at the same time, you know, we just have to be aware of what's going on around us and be realistic. There are people out there that don't think the way we do, and they want to cause harm to others, and we have to make sure that doesn't happen. And it's really the same with crime and everything else in our lives. So crime is dramatically different now than it was, you know, 30, 40 years ago. And people have to take some personal responsibility to look what's happening around them, notice something unusual, and report it so that we can deal with it and see if there's anything there or not. But at the same time, we want people to come down and have a good time and enjoy themselves, and they should.
And I think, again, the new reality that you're referring to, for me, that kind of indicates we have to realize there is somewhat of a price to be paid for that free, open society. I think as event planners, and certainly in the line of work these two gentlemen are in, you have a responsibility to the community at large. There are a lot of different perspectives about how the security should be provided, what we should do, how far we should go in terms of safety measures. I understand the concern, but at the same time, I'd ask people to realize in our small portion of that, we have the 33,000 people who signed up. You feel a responsibility to make sure that to the best of your ability, you're putting on not just well-organized, but an event where there is attention to security, their safety, the safety of their families. Their families are often spectators out on the course, the streets of Cincinnati. I think it's very much to our credit that no restrictions are being, I mean, a plastic bag is the only restriction we've asked. We encourage everyone to come down to enjoy. As Greg indicated, if you have a photography bag, you need to bring it, fine, do so. It might be nice if you could call attention to a uniformed officer that's exactly what it is. Some of this has been forced upon us, but I think in moving through our society and continuing to stay free and open and getting to do things like we do at the Flying Pig and so many other public events, yeah, we are going to have to change our habits just a little, but I personally think it's a small price to pay for the overall safety and security.
You know, another point is that this is really nothing new. You know, we've been doing this special events planning and this kind of stuff behind the scenes. The public wasn't even aware of it for as long as I can remember. You know, I worked the very first Riverfest and worked everyone since then. There's a massive amount of planning that goes in place to make that event happen, to make it safe. So the things we're doing now, we've increased some things, we do some things better, we've got better technology and equipment we had in the past, but none of these events, Riverfest, Taste of Cincinnati, Oktoberfest, the Flying Pig, they don't just happen. They happen and are safe because there's a lot of behind-the-scenes planning that we get involved in and that people aren't even aware of. So, you know, that's our job as professionals to work with people like Iris and the organizers that come in to lay down the ground rules, to set the parameters, and to protect the public. And we've done that for many, many years. You know, you go to other cities, you talk about pulling off a Riverfest, and they think, wow, how do you ever do something like that? Well, we've been doing it 26, 27 years, you know, on both sides of the river, you know anywhere from 500,000 to a million people, depending on what numbers you use. It's a tremendous accomplishment, the fact that we do that
on a regular basis with very, very little in the way of problems. So, you know, it's not new to us. It's all behind the scenes for most people, but it's been going on.
You talk about the See Something, Say Something campaign and where people really should. How do they decide, okay, is this something silly or I really should mention it? And if they do want to do it, where do they go? Who should they talk to?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different phone numbers that people throw out there. But the simplest thing that I always tell people is, number one, you know your surroundings, especially if it's your own neighborhood or an area you're comfortable with, or even an event like this. People, if they see something that in their own mind or in their own gut think, gee, that looks strange, well, then they should say something, whether it's to an officer they see right there. If they can't see an officer or a security person or a volunteer, you know, and they're clearly marked with the vest and everything, then call 911. It's as simple as that and say, hey, I just saw somebody stash a bag, you know, in a garbage can. It kind of looked kind of strange to me. If you think it's strange, if it hits your mind that, gee, that's a little odd, let us know. We'll check it out. It may be nothing. 99.9% of the time, it is nothing. But we'd rather go there, check it out, and make sure it's nothing than have somebody later on, you know, after an event say, gee, I saw somebody do that and I should have said something. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's a very simple campaign. It's a national campaign. See Something, Say Something. We're trusting people that if they see something they think's unusual or out of place, say something about it.
Now, does that end up with it taking up too much time from officers? Do you think this time around, Sergeant Luton, you'll get so many of those because people are just a little more concerned or a little more paying more attention?
I think definitely we'll probably get some more calls, but I don't think it's going to be so inundating that we can't do our normal work as well as respond to that, because we've added and enhanced some parts of that so that we have the ability to respond to more calls like that. But really, it's common sense. And as I always say in every roll call, we live in a civilized society, and for the most part, they act civilized, and it's just the one percenters that don't.
What about some of the other big events? We just have a few minutes left. Anything different that'll happen? Taste of Cincinnati is the next big one coming up Memorial Day weekend.
Well, pretty much every event we're planning currently has had a member of that event contact us and say, could we meet and see what we need to do because of Boston? And it may be nothing. Or it may be just something small. So, yeah, that's involved in all of our planning from now on. And as soon as we saw the Boston tragedy, we knew that would happen.
Now, you talk a lot about how, you know, don't bring anything more than you have to. But a lot of times parents have strollers. And kids seem, no matter how much you'd like to think, they don't need a lot of things. They need a lot of things. So what do you do in those situations? Are strollers still going to be allowed and that sort of thing?
Sure.
So that, yeah. And just if you have a bag, I guess try to bring a plastic bag even with
try to bring something see-through, and of course common sense, officers' awareness, they'll know, looking at the baby buggy and bags associated with it. They have kids too, so they understand.
They're trained to look for those things. They know what's acceptable and what might look a little out of the ordinary.
And people just need to be understanding. If an officer comes up to them and they ask a couple questions about what they've got, or, you know, they just need to understand it. They're trying to do their job and make sure things are right. So it's a, you know, it's a two-way issue. It's not just the police officer, it's the public as well. Need to understand that they may get a question, especially if they're carrying a huge duffel bag full that kind of looks like it's jammed with a bunch of stuff and it's all toys or something.
We work for you. We'll be courteous.
That's right.
and polite, but we're working for you, so we're there to make you safe.
And of course, we think it's going to be a great event, and hopefully all of this precaution and planning will be for naught.
Absolutely.
And there's going to be information about the Flying Pig on our website. Just go find the link there on the Impact page. That's at WVXU.org. Thank you all for being here.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And thank you for listening to Impact Cincinnati on 91.7 WVXU. My guest today, Flying Pig Marathon Executive Director Ira Simpson-Bush from the Cincinnati Police Department Event Planning Unit, Sergeant Greg Luton, and Hamilton County Emergency Management Director Michael Snowden. Archives of our programs are available on our website, WVXU.org. Producer for today's program was Pete Reitmeier.
Support comes from the Murray and Agnes Season Good Good Government Foundation, encouraging citizen participation in public affairs.